The views expressed on the Cystic Fibrosis Podcast are that of Jerry Cahill and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Cystic Fibrosis Podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Jerry Cahill, and his guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doctor. You're listening to the Cystic Fibrosis Podcast, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Now, here is Jerry Cahill.
Welcome to Jerry Cahill's Living, Breathing, Succeeding CF Podcast Program. This show, my yearly checkup post-transplant, was made possible through an unrestricted educational grant from Gilead to the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Today you will meet me, 62 years old, with CF and post-double lung transplant, 6 years. I will be speaking with my associate, Mike Hill, from the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Mike has had some interesting questions that he was curious about regarding my health and transplant, so we decided to sit down and chat about it.
What does your one-year checkup entail?
So a one-year checkup post-transplant involves a series of testing. So you obviously have to get your PFTs done to make sure your lung functions are roughly within the same range as they were from your last test. There's a series of blood tests. They check your levels, all the various blood work that they need. You also have to do a six-minute walk. You get a CAT scan of your lungs. They check on your bone density to see how your bones are. You also get a heart testing done to make sure the pressures are good. And then, depending on where you're at, sometimes they will schedule you for a bronchoscopy. Mm. So those are pretty much the testing. And then obviously you see your doctor, you see your pulmonologist, your transplant pulmonologist.
Speaking about bronchoscopy, how do they do a bronchoscopy?
So a bronchoscopy is done, you know, whether you are pre-transplant, post-transplant. It's more urgent post-transplant just to check to see how your lungs are doing, to make sure that you are not... experience rejection, so they have to do, cultures, biopsies of your lungs. But a bronchoscopy, you know, if you're pre-transplant or have cystic fibrosis and you have a problem coughing up mucus and they need to get cultures, sometimes it's not something that's highly recommended. They will have to do a bronchoscopy. But post-transplant, you do get it done. Post-transplant, initially you get it done on a regular basis, and then as you move further out from transplant, they spread out. But depending on how you're doing, you could get them at really any time post-transplant. So I hadn't had one in over a year, so they decided they needed to also do a bronchoscopy. So a bronchoscopy, basically, you know, you are sedated. You have to breathe in some lidocaine to kind of numb up your throat. And basically they give you some medication that kind of knocks you out. It's kind of funny when they give it to you first, like I kind of always try to keep talking to see how long I could stay awake. I like fight it. And I remember this time when I had the bronchoscopy done, they, you know, I kept saying, well, when are you putting the medicine in? And they said, oh, we're going to start putting it in a minute. I said, okay, I better put my cell phone back in my pocket then. And the funny part is, when you go out, you just zonk. You don't even...
Really?
It's not like it comes on slowly, at least for me. Yeah. I think they just give me a lot of it, and I just zonk. And then what they do is, depending, they go through your nose with the scope or your mouth, and they go down and they look at the lungs through the scope. And it's all through a scope that they're looking at it. But they also, depending on the type of bronchoscopy you're having, most people post-transplant do need to get biopsies done. But I have another problem because my platelets are low, because I have liver issues, and I do see a liver transplant doctor. that my platelets kind of get stuck in my spleen or however all the wording is. So normal platelet level is like 150,000. Well, they normally will say 150. Mine are at 49,000 or 40. 49. So that's not really good, which what that means is I kind of bleed easily. So in order for me to get any procedure that involves blood, whether it's a surgery or a bronchoscopy where they're going to cut and do biopsies, I have to get a platelet transfusion. So it's because they want to bump up the platelets because bleeding is a problem. And that could be a problem if they're taking biopsies and you start bleeding. Then you're having bleeding from hemoptysis from the lungs. So there's a lot of precautions that need to take place. For me, personally, it's not everybody doesn't need platelets, so let's be clear about that. It's not like, hey, just go in and take your vitamin C. Hey, everybody, go get a platelet trip. So it's not a good thing, but it is what it is, and it's what I have to deal with.
All right. Do you have any rejection?
Fortunately, I did not have
any. Does the bronchoscopy tell the doctors if you have rejection or not, or is that a separate?
Yes. So normally that they'll start to sense if you have any rejection, if you're getting fevers maybe, or you're tired a lot, you're coughing. There's various signs that they look at, but the bronchoscopy where they actually do biopsies is the telltale result. Fortunately, and I had a little bit of coughing, and I was tired a lot, probably because I do too much. So they had some concerns. Thank God the bronchoscopy came back with no rejection. And I'm blessed that, if my transplant, I'm 6 years, like 4 months out, I have, knock on wood, never had any rejection.
Wow.
So I had no rejection, so I was very happy about that. But yesterday, as I'm doing a bike class, I get a text from my transplant coordinator saying that I do have some infection. So I'm right now going to be taking some antibiotics. The infection I have is really in my sinuses and trachea. So they're very cautious about things because they don't want it to go into my lungs because my lung function has been really good. I mean, my FEVs are still around 104, 105, so that's great. But again, you're not out of the woods ever with a transplant. I mean, they're always, they have you on a tight leash. So any little thing goes wrong, I have to let them know. If I have coughing, I have to get swabbed right away to make sure that it's no big deal, or it could be just the common cold. So my yearly appointment is long. You start out in the morning and you go from, test to test to test. And when it's all said and done, it's probably about 6 hours. But you finish off pretty much at some point during the day that you see your transplant pulmonologist. And then you go on and about through the hospital and get a lot of testing done. And you basically hope for the best. But the most important thing is that they look for is when you have the bronchoscopy is rejection.
Are you drained afterwards? Are you completely, you can't even stand up?
After the bronchoscopy?
Yeah.
Oh, you're drugged up. Somebody's got to come get you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're drugged. I mean, but it's, you zonk out. I mean, you're just out. And they give you stuff called Versed so you don't remember anything. So I remember when I was waking up, I was like, did you start yet? And they were done.
Wow.
So it doesn't take long for the bronchoscopy, but I'd say all half hour, 45 minutes total. And they do, they do cultures and lavage and, flush out because they have to test everything. But the biopsies are the biggest telltale about rejection.
Hmm. How do you feel?
I feel good. I'm a little bit tired because I have a little infection, so I'm taking some Levaquin right now, which isn't always the best for your joints and stuff, but and tendons. But yeah, I feel good. I'm really happy. I mean, being 6 years, 4 months out from transplant, it's a really great feeling. I can breathe well. As I said, my lung function is great. But you always have to remember, there's always something that you have to do and take care of. I as a person don't focus on a lot of it. I just kind of keep moving forward. But yeah, there's a lot of bumps in the road.
Yeah, how much of this disease is a mental game, you know?
Well, I think anything in life, you know, a lot of it is mental. It's about your mental well-being and your attitude. And, you know, if you know, you believe in things and you stay positive, it'll help you get through a lot of things. I mean, you know, you can sit home and complain and stare at the wall, but that's not going to help you. I mean, I just believe that you've got to get out there, and as much as we all have obstacles, and, you know, try to live a full life and a normal life as possible. So, you know, for me, am I like a rah-rah cheerleader? You know, I try to be positive, but, you know, I have a lot of issues too, post-transplant and with CF. So, you know, and I have, you know, some liver issues right now that, you know, could pose a big threat and at some point lead to a liver transplant.
Hmm. And you have diabetes as well, right?
Yeah, I got diabetes post-transplant. I didn't have it before. And to be honest with you, that was probably, for me, one of the hardest things to adjust to is insulin and carb counting and watching what you ate. Because the thing is with, you know, CF, you want to gain weight. So they want you to eat, you know, a lot of fatty foods and a lot of carbs and stuff. But with, you know, diabetes, you have to be careful of the carbs and make sure you're allotting for them and taking enough insulin. I mean, I do produce insulin, but not enough. And, you know, I've been fortunate that I have it under control with my insulin pen. I take insulin and I take long acting. Mm-hmm. So I use Novolog during the day, and then at night I also use Lantus, which is the long acting.
Hmm. So what other types of doctor's appointments or checkups do you have throughout a year?
So with, for me, with cystic fibrosis and post-double lung transplant, and I think this may be for a lot of people, you know, I don't have a general practitioner. So my main doctor is my adult transplant pulmonologist. So this, if anything goes wrong with me, like, I have to call a transplant team. So, and then from there, they will direct me. So I see a skin doctor, I see an oncologist, I see a liver transplant doctor, I see an ENT doctor for my sinuses, a gastrointestinal doctor. So, I mean, that's a few of them. There's a whole team, but you see a lot of doctors. Mm. So, you know, weekly, I would say every week I have some doctor appointments. It's not always transplant. And then I go back to see my CF doctor. She's phenomenal also. You know, they have to watch my liver. I do take Kalydeco because it does help my sinuses in a major way and my trachea, so I don't get as many infections. But yeah, it's like it's time management, and there's a lot of doctors that you need to see and scheduling.
Forgive me for asking, but you mentioned an oncologist and a skin doctor. Do you have?
Yeah. Chance? So again, some of the side effects or the things when you have a transplant, your immune system, they basically it's shut down. That's why you take anti-rejection drugs, and you know that's not something to make light of. You have to be very serious about that. It's not like, oh, I take them, I skip the day or two, because the body is a very, very strong and smart system that if you stop taking anti-rejection drugs, the immune response of your body will start fighting right away and you'll start rejecting the organs. So that's a very big problem. So my anti-rejection drugs are extremely important, but with that said, there's a lot of side effects from anti-rejection drugs, and one of the biggest ones is a lot of cancer. Skin cancer is huge, and a lot of other cancers. And I've been, again, I'll say fortunate that as of now, I've only had some skin cancer, but it needs to be taken care of. So you see the skin doctor, I see them every 2 months, but if I notice any little bump, I have to go see the skin doctor, and they'll cut it out or biopsy it to make sure that it's nothing like squamish cells and stuff. And I had to see an oncologist because I had some cancer on my chest, skin cancer, right near my port, and the skin doctor didn't feel comfortable working there, so I went into surgery, a real surgery, and the oncologist, you know, cut out the surgery, cut out this cancer, and they do, you know, obviously testing too to then make sure they got it all. So yeah, this is just another thing. But post transplant, I mean, when you get a transplant, they don't transplant your trachea,
right.
And people with CF, a lot of times they have a lot of sinus issues,
mm.
And the sinuses, they drip down through the trachea and the trachea to the lungs. So that's something I have to be very cautious of.
And you still have those sinus problems?
Yeah, I mean, they're not transplanted. So I see, you know, the ENT doctor every 2 months.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm sure I'll have more sinus surgeries. So, yeah, it's a full-time job. But the main question is, like people, you know, ask, how did your appointment go? The appointment went well. But again, there's, you know, obviously, thank God I don't have any rejection. And yeah, we just got to watch my liver.
Now, who gets a bronchoscopy and why? Who would get it?
So, you know, people where there's having lung issues get a bronchoscopy at some point. That's really the doctor's decision. People get them with CF. It's not that you have to have a transplant to get a bronchoscopy. A lot of times people have infection, they're on medications, they don't clear up. So a lot of times they may get a bronchoscopy and they've got to go, you know, deep into your lungs and suction and get cultures. I mean, because what's in the right lung probably may not be the same as the left lung. So they do a bronchoscopy and do, you know, cultures from both lungs. And a lot of times that's the only way they can really figure out what are the proper medications, antibiotics you need to be on. Especially some people with CF, they're so congested, it's really hard for them to cough up and give the doctors the sputum culture. So that's who gets it, say, with CF. But post-transplant, for the first year, it's kind of a routine thing that I think you get every 3 months, I forget. I'm getting old, and it's 6 years ago. And then if there's any issue or concern, you'll get a bronchoscopy. If you're coughing and they're not sure, and that you can't give them a culture, they'll check for rejection. So the only way to really check is go down into your lungs and do a bronchoscopy and take a biopsy. But post-transplant, again, it's not something like, hey, it's a routine thing.
Mm.
You know, there's always the risk of bleeding and, you know, puncturing a lung. And, you know, you have to sign a waiver when you're in the suite for get the bronchoscopy that you sign off and you're aware of what the issues are.
Okay, well, I believe that's all the questions that we were asked.
Well, I hope that informed everybody, so now they know that, you know, there's a lot of other issues out there and know what goes on during a 1 year checkup for your lung transplant, and that, hey, listen, we all have obstacles and issues out there. So, well, Mike, thanks for your questions, and thanks everybody for tuning in. Stay tuned for our next one and some other new programs, and make sure you tune in to our Bike to Breathe event, the Heartland of America, which is coming up in September, and I'll be biking with Emily Schaller across the Heartland of America, starting in Michigan, going to, oh my God, Ohio, Indiana, St. Louis or Missouri, and finishing in Kansas City. And remember, you cannot fail, and you're the hero of your own story. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Jerry Cahill's Cystic Fibrosis Podcast. If you would like more information on cystic fibrosis or the Boomer Esiason Foundation, visit our website at www.esiason.org.